It's good to see everybody out today. Good to see those who are watching us live on Facebook or from our website. I know that that's what some folks are doing, and we're glad to see you there. I checked in just a little bit ago on Facebook and saw a lot of those people there. It's just good to worship God and to be together the ways that we're doing that today. We're back this week in a message series. We had a great speaker last week, Daniel Shaesta, who shared some incredible things about stepping out of the Muslim faith and into the relationship with Jesus. And if you missed that, I encourage you to check that one out on our website, because it's really worth hearing and seeing what happened in his life. But we're back in our series where we're talking about in all things and where we've been learning from the account of Job how we can be thankful in all circumstances and in all things in life. And I got to tell you that the Lord has just really been working with me in some sweet ways in this series so far. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the response of Job's friends to his loss, which started with kindness, but then it pretty quickly turned to judgment. And as I was preaching a couple weeks ago, both at 8:30 and at 10 o'clock worship experiences, I just really felt God doing a work in my heart and in my mind and in my spirit over my own, at times, judgmental spirit. If you were here at 10 o'clock or watching at 10 o'clock a couple weeks ago, you may have even seen in the closing prayers that I just was actually moved to tears. And I had some people ask me after the service, "Are you okay?" And I just got to tell you that I was more than okay. Because it was a work of Holy Spirit in my life. Those tears were a part of Holy Spirit working in me. You see, I don't come to physical tears very often. I feel it on the inside, and occasionally the physical tears come out, but it's not a common thing for me. And the truth is, I went for years without having tears at all, and I would often tease my wife and family about how my tear ducts are broke, that I feel on the inside, but they didn't work. But that changed for me about 3 or 4 years ago. I went to a pastor's conference called the New Room Conference in the Nashville area. And in several of the sessions, they were teaching a lot about the role of Holy Spirit in our lives and allowing Holy Spirit to fill our lives and to work in us. And often I think when we talk about the Holy Spirit working in our lives as believers in Jesus, what we're really experiencing, a lot of times what we're really experiencing is the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts, but not necessarily filling us. And I'm not talking about a separate experience where you have something happen, but more so this daily surrender in order to experience the fullness of Holy Spirit in us in a daily and real way. And anyway, at this conference, they had been talking about the Holy Spirit a lot, and I was at a breakout session, and in this breakout session, there was a period of time where they encouraged us just to get alone, to be by ourselves, and take whatever posture we felt led to take, whether that was sitting or standing or kneeling or even laying on our faces before the Lord, whatever, but just to find a position, find a place to be alone. At first I just kind of sat there, and then I felt the Spirit prodding me to get up and to kneel on the row of seats that were in front of me. And as I knelt there, surrendering my heart to God, something tangible happened. Friends, the Holy Spirit just came and brushed across me, and my tear ducts just opened up. And all of a sudden, I just started to cry without control. And I started to sob to the point that my shoulders and my body was actually responding, and I just was there sobbing. And here's the thing, I didn't fight it. I just welcomed it. It didn't last long, but it was the Holy Spirit working in me and through me without my control, and just as quickly as it came upon me, it left. And then I was left with just the sweet, sweet peace in my spirit. And I stayed on my knees for a few more moments, and then I just gently slipped back to my seat and felt overwhelmingly relaxed in my own spirit. And ever since that time, Holy Spirit now sometimes moves me to tears. It's still not often, but it's always welcomed. And 2 weeks ago, as I was just feeling, I was feeling the pain of those who are going through life storms and perhaps aren't feeling love and support from others. And I was just feeling the Holy Spirit moving in me over some own conviction in my life as I was working through things we were talking about. And I just felt overcame to come to the point of tears. The events of Job's life are very real. He's lost everything he's held dear, and even his own health has been under attack. There doesn't appear to be any sign of clearing of his life storm that he's in. He sees the purpose of his own life as naught, and his friends' support has turned to onslaught and criticism and judgment. For around 30 chapters of the book of Job, he's pressed right and left by Satan, trying to get him to curse God and die, and Job continues to defend himself. Friends, when you find yourself in this kind of a storm and you're losing hope, your hope, eventually you're going to have to turn to the one who's greater than the storm to find a peace that allows you to get through things and to be thankful in all things. You have to turn to the one greater than the storm. And that's what we're going to explore today. And the beauty of today's message, coming the Sunday before Thanksgiving, is that it's going to draw our focus on the Almighty and our need to thank Him just for who He is. And the thing is we need this right now. We need it because, you like it or not, we're all in a storm. You may have some personal storms that you're going through, but as a people and as a nation, we're in more than one storm. There's the outside and evident storms that are circling around us with coronavirus and unclear election results and chaos, unrest in our nation and all those things. But that's just part of the storm, the part that we can see. In the spiritual realm, there's a battle going on right now with angels and demons battling for God's elect, who He's electing to be His. Now I'm not speaking of God's elect as a select group that He's chosen and another group that He's rejected, but all those that God is calling to be His. The battle is current and it's thick, and we're seeing it. What we're seeing in the physical is all related to an outcry of what's really happening in the spiritual realm. However, the storms do not change the message that we've been looking at in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, which say, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is His will. Today's part of Job's account will lead us into a thanksgiving of rejoicing, prayer, and thanks. Many of us will be experiencing a different kind of Thanksgiving Day this year, won't we? Just because of what's going on, the storms, it's going to look a little different. For the first year since Caroline and I have been married, it's going to be a Thanksgiving that only includes our direct family. Her mom in Cincinnati wasn't comfortable with hosting with the COVID stuff going on, which we certainly understand and get. My side of the family isn't holding their normal Thanksgiving festivities, and so it's just going to be us. Now, we're okay with this reality, actually looking forward to God doing something really special in our Thanksgiving for us, something we'll always remember. But one thing that I will say for all of us, however you do your Thanksgiving Day this year, you make sure that you're giving true thanks to the Almighty One who deserves it. Make sure that you're thanking Him, because that's really what it's all about. I believe that God's calling the church to thankfulness right now, because thankfulness to the one greater than the storm, while you're in the storm, takes the power and fear away from the enemy who is stirring the storm. I think that's important enough for us to hear again. Listen to that again. Thankfulness to the one greater than the storm, while you're in the storm, takes the power of fear away from the enemy who's stirring the storm. As we return to the account of Job this week, another friend enters the scene. Job's heard the continued judgment from his three friends, who I've identified collectively as Zeb, Zophar, Eliphaz, and Bildad. I'm just calling them all Zeb. But there was another friend who was also with them hanging out, listening to the lengthy dialogue between this group of friends, Zeb and Job. This friend's name was Elihu, and apparently Elihu was younger than the others. And he's just kept quiet because he's being respectful to the age and experience of those others, and the cultural custom would be to respect his elders. But now, after hearing lots of talk with no real answers, Elihu's not able to hold his tongue any longer. He's not found any answers in the group Zeb's rebukes, and he's not seeing Job owning anything of his own in his responses, so he's bursting to give his thoughts. Listen to Job 32:1-5. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzzite, how would you like to be one of the Buzzites, the Buzzards, the Buzzites, family of Ram, he burned with anger. He burned with anger at Job because he justified himself rather than God. He burned with anger also at Job's three friends because they had found no answer, although they had declared Job to be in the wrong. Now Elihu had waited to speak to Job because they were older than he. And when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, he burned with anger. Now, friends, I believe that there's something very, very important to what Elihu's thinking here about Job and his situation. All along, Job has defended himself as being without error, being without sin in his situation. We, in fact, know from God's own words that part of this is true. It says in Job 1:8 that Job was like no other person. It says, "And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil.'" So Job was blameless and upright, but he still wasn't perfect. We know that because of Romans 3, verses 23 through 24, that tell us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." How many does that verse say have sinned? For all, right? All. All have sinned. Job was not a completely sinless person. And so any rightness, any righteousness, any blamelessness, any uprightness that Job had was by the gift of God's grace. It was by the gift of God's grace. Job may not have had this storm coming to him. He may not have had any fault that deserved it. And it wasn't God that brought the storm to him. Anyway, it was Satan. But, and friends, this is really, really important. Job was justifying the wrong person here. Job was justifying himself. The verse tells us, Elihu burned with anger at Job because he justified himself rather than God. And Elihu was right. No, this storm didn't come because of Job's sin, but neither was he justified in this storm, not deserving the storm, because of his own righteousness. Job didn't deserve the storm because of God, because God is righteous. That's how he could walk, his life blameless before God. These older friends should have let this young man speak sooner. Elihu was picking up on something that the rest of them were not. Listen, friends, when you and I find ourselves in a storm, your business is crashing, your health is failing, a family member or friend passes away, there's a pandemic, a less than regular election year, whatever it is, when you find and I find ourselves in a storm, what we dare not do is start justifying ourselves. "You don't understand. I don't deserve this. I didn't do anything wrong. As God, ask him. I'm blameless." Because once we do that, do you know what that's called? That's called pride. That's called pride. And do you know what the Bible calls pride? The Bible calls pride sin. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall." James 4:6 says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." I think that Job does become guilty of sin here, the sin of pride. Job's mistake's not that he defends the situation, but he's defending the wrong one in the situation. He doesn't need to justify himself before his friends, before his wife, before himself at all. He needs to be justifying God. Not that God needs any of us to justify him, but all included in this account have their gaze shifted off to the storm, off to the characters in the storm, on themselves, and they need to shift their gaze back toward God. And that, my friends, is where in all things we will rejoice, we will pray, and we will give thanks. And that's what Elihu helps Job and the others to do as he continues to speak. He should have spoken earlier, and then the book would have been a whole lot shorter. But the fact is that none of these guys were willing to listen until they could spew out what they thought the problem was. They had to try to deduce the situation themselves before they were going to ever listen to somebody with a younger voice. And that, older forts, should be a lesson for some of us. We need to be willing to listen to the younger voice as well. But here's Elihu. Elihu teaches Job first to be self-aware in three ways. The first way he says to be self-aware is Job's arguments are based on self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. Elihu says in Job 33, 8 through 12, "You have spoken in my hearing, and I have heard your very words. You said, 'I am pure, I am without sin, I am innocent, I have no guilt. God is picking a quarrel with me, and he considers me his enemy. He puts my feet in stocks and watches my every move. But you are wrong, and I will show you why, for God is greater than any human being.'" Job was righteous with his outside actions, but inside, he's still not righteous on his own. He was righteous because of God. He couldn't be right with God by his own power and his own doing. If Job really wants to defend himself, he needs to instead defend God, the God who's allowed him to stand in this storm. Second way that Job needs to be self-aware is this, is Job's righteousness, it can be restored. It can be. Elihu says this in Job 33, 23 through 28. "But if an angel from heaven appears, a special messenger to intercede for a person and declares that he is upright," that sounds almost like prophetic word, doesn't it? If an angel from heaven hears a special messenger to intercede, it almost sounds like the coming of Christ for us. "He will be gracious and say, 'Rescue him from the grave, for I have found a ransom for his life.' Then his body will become as healthy as a child's, firm and youthful again. When he prays to God, he will be accepted, and God will receive him with joy and restore him to good standing. He will declare to his friends, 'I sinned and twisted the truth, but it was not worth it. God rescued me from the grave, and now my life is filled with light.'" God hasn't left Job. In fact, God's going to restore Job, and we'll hear about that next week. Third way that Job needs to be self-aware is this. Job has to stop pointing fingers at God. He's got to stop pointing, just stop it, Job. Job says that he's right and God's taken away his rights. Job 34, 5 through 6, "For Job also said, 'I am innocent, but God has taken away my rights. I am innocent, but they call me a liar. My suffering is incurable, though I have not sinned.'" Job says that it's profitless to delight in God. Listen to Job 34, 9. He has even said, "Why waste time trying to please God?" It's profitless to please God's what he's saying. You know, when the storm is raging and someone's hurting, it's really easy to start pointing fingers. Don't you agree? But that's not a good thing to do. But when you start pointing your fingers at God, it shows that you've completely misdirected your focus, and it's time to get some focus back. And Elihu's about to help Job and to help us get our focus back in line so that in all things we can be thankful. We often say that storms build our character. I've said things actually like that in the series, and there's truth to that. However, you know what a greater truth is? A greater truth is that storms reveal your character. They reveal your character. God's been building character in you, then when the storm comes, your character is going to be revealed. Who are you going to point fingers at? The character of Job, per God, is that he was blameless and upright before God, but when that character got put to the test, his focus began to shift. I'm just. I'm blameless. Yes, so what? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God. Who and what is God? Being thankful in all things won't come if we focus on the storm, and it won't come if we're focusing on ourselves. Real thankfulness only comes when we focus on the fact that God is greater than the storm. God's greater than whatever storm you're going through right now. And we need to get our gaze there. We need to get our focus there if we're going to be thankful in all things. You see, here's the thing. Nothing that happens to Job or anyone else ever changes who God is. Nothing. It doesn't change God. Remember that God didn't inflict Job, Satan did. God's character is very much intact and always stays intact. And Elihu spends three chapters defending God's character. We're going to spend some time rejoicing and thanking God for who he is by looking at 15 character traits of God that Elihu shares. Friends, as I share these traits, these character traits of God, of the one who's greater than the storm that you and I are in, let your thanksgiving build for him. Let it build within you for him. God's character trait, number one is this. God doesn't do wrong. God doesn't do wrong. Job 34:10 says, listen to me. You who have understanding, everyone knows that God doesn't sin. The Almighty can do no wrong. Can do no wrong. Friends, when we face calamity and we're tempted to point at God, we need to remember that God doesn't do wrong. His very nature is perfect, and it doesn't allow him to do wrong things. So when your storm is rocking, stop and thank God that he's not the cause of the wrong in our lives. That's not to say that God won't ever test, won't ever challenge us, but he won't do it by wrong means or by ever doing something that's wrong. So thank him for in all things, even if the things seem to stink a little bit right now. Character trait number two of God. God doesn't pervert justice. Job 34:11-12. He repays people according to their deeds. He treats people as they deserve. Truly, God will not do wrong. The Almighty will not twist justice. God is never unjust. He won't even twist it a little bit, justice a little bit. Your storm may feel unjust. Okay, if it's unjust, it's not from God because God's not unjust. So let's let your presumed injustice turn to thanks to God for his supreme justice that will roll and that will rule exactly at his time and in his way. Number three, God's character trait is this: God holds all things together. Job 34:13-15 says, did someone else put the world in his care? Who set the world in place? If God were to take back his spirit and withdraw his breath, all life would cease and humanity would turn again to dust. Hey, does your storm or the season of the storm in America make it feel like things are falling apart? Does it feel like things are falling apart right now and that things are no longer together? Well, did someone else put the world in God's care? Who set the whole world into its place? If God were to take back and withdraw his breath, then all life would cease and humanity would turn to dust. But God has not pulled back his spirit or withdrawn his breath. And how do I know? Because I'm experiencing it right now in this place here today, and I experience it every day as I walk with him. So since God's not pulled back his spirit and He's still holding all things together, even in your storm. So I will rejoice and I will thank him, even when it's cloudy and this world's rocking. God's character trait number four, God is righteous and almighty. Job 34:16-17. Now listen to me if you are wise. Pay attention to what I say. Could God govern if he hated justice? Are you going to condemn the Almighty Judge? Listen, by saying that Job's storm was because he was a sinner and that his kids were sinners and that he deserved worse, all things that Zeb, his friend, said to him earlier on, by saying those things, Zeb was condemning the Almighty. By justifying himself instead of justifying God, Job was condemning the Almighty. God doesn't hate justice, he loves justice. That's why he sent his own son Jesus to die for you and me, because he was doing justice to justly bring us before God that we could be forgiven. It was a justice that he laid out by laying his son's life down for us. Thank God for his righteousness. Thank him that he's almighty. Thank him that he's always just. God's character trait number five, God doesn't show favoritism. Job 34:19, he doesn't care how great a person may be, and he pays no more attention to the rich than to the poor. He made them all. He made them all. Sometimes when we're in a storm, the enemy likes to whisper in our ear, and he always whispers in first person, often whispers in first person, so that we think it's our own thoughts, whispering thoughts like, I'm just not one of God's favorites. God doesn't love me as much as he does others. God may not love me at all. That's just for the bold and the beautiful people, the ones who seem to have everything and have everything together. God's letting these things happen to me because I don't matter so much to God. Hear me loudly and clearly, friends. Those are ungodly beliefs. They're lies from the devil. This verse right here tells us that God doesn't play favorites. He doesn't show favoritism. And did you know that there's nothing that you could ever do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you could ever do to make God love you less, because he already loves you completely with a love that has no conditions and no strings. He can't love you more because he already loves you fully, and he can't love you less because it's against his nature to do so. So in your storm, when the devil starts his whispering, you proclaim boldly and loudly, I may be in a storm, maybe it's one of many storms, maybe it's a long storm, I may be in a storm, but this I know, and this I rejoice and give thanks for. God favors me and loves me as I am, and no storm will ever make him love me more, and no storm will ever make him love me less, because he already loves me completely. God's character trait number 6, God sees everything. He sees everything. Listen, you may not have seen your storm coming, and so you certainly probably have no clue of when it will end. But as I've said before, as I said in these earlier weeks, every storm has a before the storm, and every storm has an after the storm, and God sees it all, friends. He sees it all. He saw it before it was coming, and he sees the clearer days that are coming ahead. He even sees the next storm that you'll face someday, and maybe the one beyond that, and he sees the clearing after that storm and the clearing after the next storm, all before they ever come. That's something that we need to rejoice over. God is not surprised. He's not shocked or rattled. He's confidently stable and solid in all us through all of our storms. And get this, he is enough. He is enough. Job 34, 21 through 22. For God watches how people live. He sees everything they do. No darkness is thick enough to hide the wicked from his eyes. No darkness is thick enough that Jesus can't see everything that's going on. He sees it all. God's character trait number 7, God puts people in their places. Job 34, 23 through 24. We don't set the time when we will come before God in judgment. He brings the mighty to ruin without asking anyone, and he sets up others in their place. God's going to get you where you need to go. He's going to place you where he needs you to be placed. Even the mighty on this earth have nothing on God. No person takes any power of position or place of poverty without God's permission. Trust God in the place you are, and for him to move you to where you need to be, and in all things thank him. 8th character trait of God is this: God stays righteous regardless of human sin. Job 35, 6 through 7, if you sin, how does that affect God? Even if you sin again and again, what effect will it have on him? If you are good, is this some great gift to him? What could you possibly give him? Our current world storm may be shining light on some evil and evil things in our world right now. It may be revealing sin at levels that we never even could have imagined. It may even feel like our country's coming to a breaking point. But where does our rejoicing and thanks come from? It comes from the fact that none of that affects or changes God. God stays righteous regardless of the ugliness of your storm or mine or the storm of this world. And in all things, we need to thank the Almighty and the All-Steady God for that. Character trait number 9. God listens and cares. Friends, the noise of many storms, sometimes they make it hard for us to hear what's true around us, especially when you're out in a storm. And you ever been out in a storm and you're kind of stuck out and there's thunder and lightning and pouring down rain all around you, and you can't hardly hear the person who's next to you or see where your car is if you're in a parking lot and you're just trying to make it through. And because our life storm may make it hard to hear God and to hear others, we come to the wrong conclusion that God doesn't hear us, that he doesn't really care. This is an oh-so-very wrong and defeating thought. Job 34:9 through 16 says, people cry out when they are oppressed. They groan beneath the power of the mighty. Yet they don't ask, where is God my creator, the one who gives songs in the night? Where is the one who makes us smarter than the animals and wiser than the birds of the sky? And when they cry out, God does not answer because of their pride. But it is wrong to say God doesn't listen, to say the Almighty isn't concerned. You say you can't see him, but he will bring justice if you will only wait. You say he does not respond to sinners with anger, and it is not greatly concerned about wickedness, but you are talking nonsense, Job. You have spoken like a fool. We're thinking, and when we're thinking and speaking, we're speaking like fools if we believe or say that God doesn't listen, that God doesn't care. Thank him, friends, because he does. He does listen, and he does care. Character trait number 10, God keeps his eye on the innocent. Job 36:5-10, God is mighty, but he does not despise anyone. He is mighty in both power and understanding. He does not let the wicked live, but gives justice to the afflicted. He never takes his eyes off the innocent, but he sets them on thrones with kings and exalts them forever. If they are bound in chains and caught up in a web of trouble, he shows them the reason. He shows them their sins of pride. He gets their attention and commands that they turn from evil. Friends, if you're in a life storm, and like Job, you're thinking and feeling, you're saying, but I'm innocent. I don't deserve this. I've done nothing wrong. Remember that God keeps his eye on the innocent. So let him handle what's just and what's unjust, and who's just and who's unjust. Let him handle it, not you or I, and you and I can instead give our attention to speaking thankfulness to a justifiable God. Trait 11, God always leads you away from danger. Job 36:16, God is leading you away from danger, Job, to a place free from distress. He is setting you your table with the best food. I think that God's inspired Elihu with these words here. I really do. And I believe that these words brought a glimmer of hope back to Job. And after hearing a barrage of insults from these other three friends, these Zeb friends, those words were probably like just a salve to Job's soul. And they're really prophetic words. They're prophetic words of what's about to come for Job. And you'll see that next week when we continue further. God's already preparing a wonderful after the storm for Job. You'll hear about it next week. But for you, if you're walking through a life storm right now, hear these words of hope for you. God is leading you away from danger to a place free from distress. He is setting your table with the best food. Friends, help is on the way. Help is on the way. God's character trait number 12. God is all powerful. Job 36:22-24. Look, God is all powerful. Who is a teacher like him? No one can tell him what to do or say to him, you have done wrong. Instead, glorify his mighty works, singing songs of praises. Everyone has seen these things, though only from a distance. We've only seen the power of God, friends, from a distance. And it's and the distance of the mighty. What we've seen is incredible, but it's only from a distance that we've seen it. We've seen nowhere near a glimpse of the fullness of God's power. I'm convinced that if we could see the fullness of God's power, which we couldn't comprehend or understand, but if somehow we could see it, we would never, ever stress. We would never, ever worry about any life storm, because God is always greater than the storm, always greater than the storm. God's character trait number 13. God is greater than we can comprehend. Not only is God greater in power, but he's so much greater in all things than we can even comprehend, friends. Listen to this excerpt from God's greatness from Job 36, verse 26 through chapter 37, verse 5. Listen to this. Look, God is greater than we can understand. His years cannot be counted. He draws up the water vapor and distills it into rain. The rain pours down from the clouds and everyone benefits. Who can understand the spreading of the clouds and the thunder that rolls forth from heaven? See how he spreads the lightning around him and how he lights up the depths of the sea? By these mighty acts, he nourishes the people, giving them food in abundance. He fills his hands with lightning bolts and hurls each at its target. The thunder announces his presence. The storm announces his indignant anger. My heart pounds as I think of this. It trembles within me. Listen carefully to the thunder of God's voice as it rolls from his mouth. It rolls across the heavens, and his lightning flashes in every direction. Then comes the roaring of thunder, the tremendous voice of his majesty. He does not restrain it when he speaks. God's voice is glorious in the thunder. We can't even imagine the greatness of his power. Wow, it's just a huge section. Huge section about God's greatness. Here's character trait number 14. God works miracles. Job 37, 14. Pay attention to this, Job. Stop and consider the wonderful miracles of God. When we're in a life storm, we often only see the storm. But pay attention. Stop and consider the wonderful miracles of God. God's doing miracles. He's doing them all around us. And God's about to do some miracles in Job's life that you'll hear about next week. In all things, friends, even if it doesn't feel like what we're seeing is great in the moment, we need to stop and thank God for being a miracle worker. God, you're good and you work miracles. I'm thanking you even though my storm feels dark. You still work miracles. And the 15th, the final God character trait we're going to look at is this. God is to be feared. With all the finger pointing that's going on at God, have they all forgotten just who God is? Yeah, they have. That's why Elihu's reminding them in these chapters. Remember always that God is God, and we always need to revere him for who he is, regardless of the current and incoming storms that we see. Job 37, 23, and 24. We cannot imagine the power of the Almighty, but even though he is just and righteous, he does not destroy us. No wonder people everywhere fear him. All who are wise show him reverence. After Elihu gives us this amazing dissertation of the character of God being greater than any storm in our life, we then see this rare occurrence. God himself speaks challenge to Job. God himself comes in a whirlwind and speaks to Job. For the next four chapters, chapters 38 through 41, they're four amazing chapters, probably my favorite chapters in the whole book of Job. I encourage you to read these chapters this week. Maybe it will help you in your Thanksgiving this week so that you can see how God speaks of himself and for himself about his greatness. I'm going to share, to wrap it up for us, just one excerpt of that from God's words as we close in thankfulness for God. I'm going to have the praise team go ahead and come and get in place as I share this section from Job 38, verses 1 through 18. Then we're going to kind of end in a little different way. So listen to these words. This is God speaking. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Who is it that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundations? Who laid its cornerstone? As the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who kept the sea inside its boundaries as it burst from the womb, and as I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it in thick darkness? For I locked it behind barred gates, limiting its shores. I said, this far and no farther you will come. Here your proud waves must stop. Have you ever commanded the morning to appear and caused the dawn to rise in the east? Have you made delight spread to the ends of the earth to bring an end to the night's wickedness? As the light approaches, the earth takes shape like a clay pressed beneath a seal. It is robed in brilliant colors. The light disturbs the wicked and stops the arm that is raised in violence. Have you explored the springs from the sea, from which the seas come? Have you explored their depths? Do you know where the gates of death are located? Have you seen the gates of utter gloom? Do you realize the extent of the earth? Tell me about it if you know. Tell me about it if you know. God's been there. He's created it all. He's done it all. Friends, the answer to thankfulness in all things is to have a clear and sober judgment of ourselves. A clear and sober judgment of ourselves. And then resting in the character and the reality of who God is. How am I to be thankful in all things? I have to come to the realization that I'm powerless, but He is all powerful. I am without understanding, but He is all understanding. I'm not in control. I never have been. But He's sovereign. He's sovereign. Let's pray together. We're going to do something special in our prayer time. God, I thank you. I thank you, God, for who you are. We haven't even touched on all that you do. We've just talked about who you are, 15 points of your character. Elihu was given words, I believe, from you to speak and to draw attention to the Creator, to the one who deserves all of our worship. And God, we need that today. The storms are dark right now, and we need to look to the brightness, to turn our eyes off of all that and to you, and to thank you and thank you and thank you. And Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would lead us right now in a special time. I want everybody to have their eyes closed. Everybody have your eyes closed and in your place, and take whatever posture is comfortable for you. Maybe you feel like kneeling. Maybe you feel like standing. Maybe you need to lay on your face. Maybe you just need to be seated where you are. Take whatever posture God leads you to. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and to brush across us. Holy Spirit, come over us with your presence. And friends, in whatever storm you're seeing in your life right now, whether it's your own personal storm, whether it's the storm of somebody you love or a family member or even someone you've seen in the community, whether it's the storm that our nation's facing, that we're all facing, I want you to turn your eyes away from the storm for a moment and turn them to God. Shift your gaze. Shift your gaze to the Almighty. And I want you just to ask God, ask Jesus. Say, Jesus, show yourself to me. Show yourself to me in my storm. Jesus, where are you? And friends, just take a moment just to be quiet and really seek Holy Spirit to move in you. See if God brings some image of his work in the midst of your storm to your eyes to give you hope, to shift your gaze. Ask him. Show Jesus to me in my storm. Ask him. Show Jesus to me. Where are you, Jesus, in the storm of this nation? With the virus, with this weird election, with the chaos in the streets and in homes and in hearts, with the craziness of telling us to stay apart and all the different things, God, show us where Jesus is in that. Friends, if you're being shown some image of Jesus, I encourage you just to say it out loud so we can hear, we can be testified to hear what God is showing you. If you're on the stage, part of the praise team, or if you're in the seats, or if you're at home, you could post that on Facebook if you would like. But if God is showing you something, just say that out loud. What do you see? In control, someone says. Jesus down from the cross.
I see this giant, giant storm, and from our side, it's overwhelming. We can't even see past it. We can't even hardly see, you know, right in front of us. But then when you pan back and you look at the wide angle from God's perspective, that storm is so small and so minute in his power.
Mighty sound of thunder. Light. Show yourself to us, Jesus. Power in the lightning. As I prayed earlier this morning, doing this at our earlier worship experience, I felt like God showed me Jesus with his arms outstretched to his right and to his left, and his hands on the heads of Donald Trump and Joe Biden, with both of their heads bowed. It wasn't an angry Jesus, it was a calm Jesus. A calm Jesus who had complete authority over whoever is placed in power. But it's Jesus who's on the throne. I wasn't given the name of who's going to win, but of the one who already has victory. Holy Spirit, fill us. Rush over us with your presence. Move us to tears when we need to be moved to tears. Bring us to laughter when we need laughter. Fill us with your peace and your joy that overwhelms, that carries us through every storm. Holy Spirit, your fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Fill us with those things. Grow us in the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, Lord, that we would live full, and that in any storm we will thank you, and that in any circumstance we will praise you, and in all times we will not cease to pray and to glorify and rejoice over you. God, you are good. We are thankful. In the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Let's worship together, friends. Friends, thankfulness leads to breakthrough. Rejoicing, praying without ceasing, being thankful all times, it leads to breakthrough. And that's what happens with Job. Job finds breakthrough when his eyes are turned back to what matters, back to who God is, back to God's voice calling down to him, back to God, then the breakthrough comes. You're going to hear more about that next week. No matter how dark it feels, no matter how hard the storm hits, thank him. Rejoice. It might take all your energy you can to whisper the name Jesus. Call it out. Keep calling it out. Keep thanking him. Keep praising him. And breakthrough comes. I want to tell you before we leave, I hope you have an amazing Thanksgiving, different than any other and beautiful, more beautiful than any other. And I also want to tell you, I just am so thankful for all of you. I don't know if that gets said or heard enough, but we are so thankful to walk through this life with Jesus with you. It's really different right now, I understand that, and for you at home too, to walk through it with you, even though I can't see you. We are grateful for you. And we need to be grateful for God and who he's given us to walk this walk with as we celebrate Jesus. God bless you all. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We'll see you next time.